Today I want to talk to you from the message title of Deep Impact. We had a message called Deep Sea Fishing. It was about the role of discipleship, the desire to be a disciple of Christ, to be a follower of Christ, to be a learner of Christ, to do what Christ did, to follow in his footsteps. We called it Deep Sea Fishing, capital C, fishing, right? Because Jesus was calling out the disciples, and he called us as well to be disciples. And then we had a message entitled In Too Deep last week. We said, you know, I'm in too deep with the Lord to stop swimming. Some of you swimmers know what that's like. When, you know, you go to the ocean or you go to the deep end of the swimming pool, you have to keep swimming until you get there. there's no resting. You understand? Your feet aren't hitting the ground. Once you get to a certain point, a certain dedication to this walk with the Lord, there's no turning back. You have to keep swimming until you make it to the place of your destination. Are you following me? And you have a choice. Either you can swim back to the shallow end from which you came. The Bible said a dog returns to his own vomit. You can go back to your old life and call it backsliding. You can keep going back if you want to. But if you want to get to the ultimate prize, you got to keep swimming. You understand? So say, I was in too deep to stop praising him. I'm in too deep to stop worshiping him. I'm in too deep to stop believing on him. My faith is too deep for that. And then we had another message entitled Idol Worship. I-D-L-E, worship. We're talking about the type of worship that says, I believe in God, but I don't serve him. You understand? My worship is idle. It's not moving. It's stagnant. It's not progressing. It's like starting the car up but never putting it in drive. They call that idling the car. Are you following me? So some of us as Christians, that's what we do. We start the car up, but we never put it in drive. We don't get into the act of serving because we're distracted by the other idols that we worship. Amen. Could be stuff, could be people, could be family or whatever. And then we start to worship idols, and that keeps us in a position of being idle, of not moving, not changing. But we have to shift gears and get into the things that God wants us to get into. Are you following me? So today I want to talk to you about having a deep impact. You guys know I often quote movies. I was a movie buff. I love movies. And this particular movie came to mind entitled Deep Impact. Some of you might remember it, but the reason I remember it the most is two things. And it's about Hollywood. You know, in Hollywood, whenever they make a hit film, they always come back and have another film that's almost just like it. And so back in, I don't know what the year was, in the 90s, they had a movie called Armageddon. It's about an asteroid that was going to, on route to hit the Earth and destroy the Earth, and it's supposed to be the end of the world. That one had the big stars, that Bruce Willis and Matt Affleck, and these guys went up on a shuttle and things. But then they had another movie that was kind of a knockoff to it. It was called Deep Impact. You understand? At around the same time, they had a movie about an earthquake in Hollywood, and then they made another movie about an earthquake, a volcano. And so it seems like that's what Hollywood does. Something works, and then they duplicate it. So that's one thing. And then another thing in this movie, Deep Impact, they had Morgan Freeman was playing the president. You guys remember that? You remember that? It was the first movie I think I could recall where I see that it was a black president in the movie. So I was like, okay. You know, and that's what Hollywood kind of does, too. It kind of preps you for something that's going to come, you know. So they put a black president, and, you know, you heard of the show West Wing. They put a female president in that show. And, you know, and that's what Hollywood kind of does. They kind of shape it. That's just some random thoughts of why I came to this movie. But even deeper than that, there was some symbolism in the movie. The movie was about an asteroid that was going to penetrate the Earth and cause the Earth to change forever. An asteroid is what? A big rock. Am I right?
Yeah.
My Bible said that Jesus is the rock.
Amen.
The asteroid was going to penetrate the Earth, the flesh, and the flesh, the Earth, was going to be forever changed and transformed. It was going to be made over. Are you following me? Old things were going to pass away, and all things were going to become new. Are you seeing the symbolism? The rock, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who wants to penetrate our flesh, our hearts, and cause our hearts to change forever so that our old man, our old woman could forever be changed. We could put off the old and then put on the new. Now, with that being said, let's see how we can make a deep impact. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church there in Ephesus. And look at what he has to say. Ephesians chapter 5. How can we make a deep impact? Deep impact. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, all the way to verse 21. I'll read in your hearing. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I'm at verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Essentially, what Paul is talking about is he's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, if you want to make a deep impact on the world, or if you want to have a deep relationship with God, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's simply a non-negotiable thing not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The reason that we bump our heads sometimes in our walk with the Lord, the reason that we get entrapped and ensnared in our sins and in our trespasses is because we haven't activated the Spirit of God working on the inside of us. Are you following me? So therefore, we don't have the power that we need that's necessary for us to walk as children of the light, as Paul is saying, that we should walk in love, we should walk in light, and then we should walk in wisdom. Amen. All of those things are gifts that the Holy Spirit prevails to us. Amen. Amen? Let's follow it. First of all, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in love. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you should know it. You should underline it. You should highlight it. You should put it on a note card. You should put it on your screensaver. You should post it on Facebook or Twitter, whatever your thing is. You should put that up there so that you can see it all the time. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Look what God says. Look what the Word of God says. He said, He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. Last week, we talked about being in too deep. We talked about the parable of the sowers. And basically, to break it down, God is the sower. His seed is his word, but we are the soil. Are you following me? So you have the sower, the seed, and the soil. So you have the sower who's scattering seed. God is scattering his word all throughout the world. His word is being scattered. His word is being scattered. You have preachers, evangelists, ministers, elders, everyday saints that are scattering the word of God in one way, shape, form, or another. It's on the internet. It's on the iPod. It's MP3. It's in the word. We got several translations. The word is being scattered all over. But what's the word? The word consists of his commandments and his promises. See, but you can't have the promises if you don't obey the commandments. See, there's a logical conclusion to the thing. You have to obey his commandments to receive the promises. Well, one of those promises is that you will receive the Holy Spirit. That's what Acts 1 and 8 is about. He said, you shall receive power. What's that? That's a promise from God. Amen. God has given you a promise that you're going to have power. You understand? Listen, that's a hallelujah moment. I said, God said, you're going to have power. Amen. Power over your circumstances. Yes. Power over your situation. Hallelujah. Power over anything that the enemy is trying to throw in your way. The Bible said, when the devil rises up like a flood, yes. God is going to lift up the standard. Yes. You understand? So he's promising you power. That's a great thing. That you are going to have power after what? You receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, however you want to refer to him.
Amen.
Not it.
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
He's not an it. He's a him.
Amen.
After you receive him, then you're going to have power. Power. The word power in the Greek is dynamis. You know what it is. Dynamite. JJ. Woo! You see? See, JJ had to see. He was preaching the word. He said, dynamite. He was talking about power. You understand? Power. What does power mean? Supernatural power. The potentiality to exert force in performing a function. The potentiality. I like saying that. Potentiality. That's a $20 word. You can leave it in the offering basket. Potentiality to exude power. Are you following me? Or force when trying to accomplish a task. What's the task we're trying to accomplish? First of all, we're trying to walk in love. First of all, we're trying to love people. Why are we trying to love people? Because the Bible said that this is the ultimate commandments. He said, they said, Jesus, what are the most important commandments? Jesus said, man, like he did. I like how Jesus talked to the disciples, man. He just said, you guys just don't get it, man. Sometimes you can kind of feel his exasperation when he's talking. He says, listen, since you asked, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God. And let me throw this one in because I'm reading your hearts and I know what your next question is. What's the second? He said, the second is to love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments, all the others hang. Remember last week we talked about the Ten Commandments, how they're broken down. The first four are about our relationship with God. The second six are about our relationship with others. So that was Jesus saying, listen, love the Lord your God. That's the first four. They relate to your relationship with God. And then the next six relate to your relationship with man, with other people. So love God and love people. If you don't know anything else that the Bible says about living the Christian life, then keep those two things in mind. You'll be all right. Love God and love people. How do I love people? By judging them? No. By holding them accountable? Yes. You understand what I'm saying? By looking at them funny because they don't look like you? And we're all human, so sometimes it's going to throw you off for a minute, but then your spirit's going to kick in, and then you jump right back in. Some folks look crazy. I'm just going to say, some folks look crazy. And they look crazy on purpose. They're trying to provoke something in you. There's a reason why they look crazy like that. They want you to look at them so they can say, why are you looking at me? It's a setup. Come on now. You got to discern. It's a setup, man. You know that don't look good, but you gonna throw it out just so somebody, all these people looking at me. Well, is that not the point? You know, I don't understand these things. You know, you got these big, giant earrings that they stretch your ear out like 4 feet. And it's like that. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, and I don't know. I don't know, Brother Johnson. Am I supposed to look or not? I don't know. Am I supposed to stare or not? Do they want you to look? Do they want you? I don't know. You understand? You understand? But guess what? So in your natural flesh, it's going to throw you off. It's like, whoo, wait a minute. Grab your purse. You're going to clutch your purse a little bit, sister. You're like, wait a minute. What are we dealing with right here? Because you got to assess the situation. What are we dealing with? Are we dealing with a fool or what? I need to know. That's called discernment. Anybody tell you that don't throw them off is lying. I don't even see that. I just see people. I just love people, and I never would judge anybody. Yes, you better. You'd be laying on the side of the road, head bleeding. You go ahead. But I'm going to use spiritual discernment. What are we dealing with? What are we dealing with? What are we dealing with? But then you talk to the person, you find out that, you know, they're okay. And then you, all right. That's the Holy Spirit that gives you that power. He gives you that ability, that discernment to capture your flesh right in its tracks and to cut your flesh off and say, that's flesh right there that you're working with. Now operating in the spirit. Show some love. Hey, man, how you doing, brother? And that looks painful, man. How you do that? Well, you know, this is how it's done, man. That looks painful. And then you may find yourself in a situation to evangelize. Amen. You may find a person you know what? You know, I see you pierced all over. You know, somebody was pierced for you. His name was Jesus. And you ain't the first person to be pierced. You know, Jesus was pierced for your behalf. But he was pierced for a whole nother reason. Amen. Oh, wow, interesting. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Because look what Paul does. He's talking about love, but then what he goes into, he kind of switches the script. I thought we was talking about love. Then he starts talking about fornication and idolaters. Wait a minute. I thought you were talking about walking in love. Look what he says. He says, what is that, verse 3? He said, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be even named among you as fitting for the saints. Listen, he starts talking about fornication. He goes from talking about love to the perversion of love. Listen, it won't go down in this church that your children won't hear about sex. We're not going to let the world teach our children about sexual relationships. And let that be the first time that they hear about it so that they get the first dibs on how to shape what sex is about. God created sex. Did he or did he not? For this cause a man and shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. He should leave and cleave unto his wife. Let's talk about sex, salt and pepper. I'm sorry, man. I grew up with hip-hop, so... I make a lot of hip-hop references. Salt Pepper said, let's talk about sex. God said, let's talk about sex. God said, yes, I'm for same-sex marriage, the same sex I designed in Genesis chapter 1. That's the same-sex marriage I support, the same sex. What's the same sex? And a man shall leave his father and mother. And listen, Adam didn't even have a father and mother. God was telling us this is how it's supposed to go now from here on. He wasn't talking about Adam. He's talking about everybody to follow Adam. He said, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wives. Nope, not wives. To his wife. And the two shall become one. That's sex. Be fruitful and multiply. Last time I checked, only a man and a woman could be fruitful and multiply. You understand? That's just real talk. That's just the word of God. Amen. But Paul goes on. He says, listen, no fornicators. Fornicators, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting. Why are you sharing some of this foolishness on Facebook? Amen. Coarse jesting. Why are you forwarding me this email? You understand? I have no interest in that. That's coarse jesting. Innuendo. It's sin. But look who he's talking to. He said it's not fitting for the saints. He's talking to the saints, not the ain'ts. Sister. See, you understand what I'm saying? He's talking to the saints. He's not talking to the ain'ts. You understand? He's talking to the church. He said, listen, the world is going to do what the world is going to do. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't be taken back. The world is going to is under the influence of the enemy, under darkness, and the world is going to come up with all types of schemes and things to do that don't make any sense to the child of God. What I'm telling you is to come out from among them. What I'm telling you, that if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves, stop fornicating, stop shacking up, stop having relationships, doing all this stuff, stop idol worship, if I just get my people right, oh man, everybody gets blessed. Everybody will get blessed. If I can just get my people right. So Paul is talking to the saints. He said, this is not fitting for the saints. This letter is to the church. It's not to your neighbor down the street that don't go to church. It's not a letter to the atheist. It's a letter to the church. Church, get it right. That's what he's saying. Why? Because this is a loving thing to do. If you love me, then get right. If you love me, then get right. That's what he's saying. If he said, neither filthiness or foolish talking. Some of you guys are my friends on Facebook. You saw a thing I put on Facebook this morning. Said, Facebook is your pulpit. What are you preaching? Amen. You have to understand. It's your pulpit. What are you preaching? What's the word this morning? You understand? You have followers. Where are they following you to? Isn't that the point? So you can gain followers. You have an audience. What's the show? What are you putting on? What are you preaching on your Facebook, your Instagram, your Vine, your Google Plus, whatever it is? What are you preaching? It's Christ we preach, Him crucified. Amen. So he said, look, but the people in the church, the saints, no foolish talking, neither filthiness, coarse jesting. Clean up your language. Just clean up your language. Why is it so important to clean up your language? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's coming out of your mouth had to stop at your heart first. It started in your heart. And then it works its way up into your mind and then out your heart. And as a man thinketh, so is he. You understand? So clean up your language. Because you can't bless and curse from the same spot. Listen, he said, the saints rather should be doing what? The saints should be giving thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Let me balance this thing out. The saints should be giving thanks. What should we be thankful? I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Sometimes when we see those folks I talk about that look crazy, we got to thank God that we don't still look crazy. That should be a reminder to you, because you were right there once again. Listen, we had some crazy styles of fashion. The 80s, 90s, we had some crazy styles of fashion. I pray don't ever come back. Please don't ever, ever come back. Cross colors? Are you kidding me? Big, bright jeans that's way too big. Just big, bright, bold colors. I pray that don't come back. I don't want it to come back. That was not a good look. Amen. Now I might rock a members only jacket, you know. Now the members only was because see that was exclusive. That was for members only. But everybody had one, so you know, I just had an embers only because I couldn't afford the members. Yeah, you know, I just had embers only. You just couldn't look too close at it. You look too close, you start to. You understand? Look what he says in Ephesians 5, 7, and 8. The key verse here, he said, let no one deceive you. Verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ our God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. He says, for you know this stuff is wrong. You know. See, don't read that too crazy. He said, for you know. He said, this you know. Amen. You know that that's wrong. You know you're not supposed to be shacking up. But no, we're not shacking up. This 2015 is cohabitation. No. It's fornication. Well, we live together. We're not having sex. You're lying. You got three kids. Where they come from? You understand? He said, you know that this is a sin. You know that a man and a man, it don't work. You know that. You know it don't work. You know this. Don't cover it up. You know it. If you don't take a rocket science, you don't have to go deep into the word to figure out that that's a man. He has male parts. That's another man. He has male parts. Or that's a woman. She has male parts. And there's another woman. She has male parts. And they don't work together. They don't. Are you understand? You know this. Regardless of what the world say, you know this. That's basic biology. You learn that about the 7th, 8th grade, you start getting into biology, and you see that this is a man, and this is a woman. They bring in the mouth, this is a man. And you understand? You know, you knew that before you even went to school. You knew that. When you was a little boy, a little girl, when you was 3 years old, you guys took baths together, but by the time you got about 5 years old, you had to start taking different baths because one started to notice that, why don't I have that? What is that? One start getting curious, oh, time to change. Come on, I got 5 kids, so I know. Once one start getting curious about what the other one had, well, you guys can't bathe together no more. You got to go dress in your quarters. You got to dress in your quarters. You can't sleep together anymore. You got to, you know. This is foolishness. We know better. If you know better, you just got to do better. Act like you know. Somebody say, act like you know. That's a rap song, too. Verse 7 says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. The book of Romans said, not only you that are guilty of such things, but you who approve of such practices. God said, when you approve those things, you are just as guilty. You're not doing anybody any favors by covering up their sin. Sin is a sin. No matter what it is. Listen, you can take homosexuality out of it. Let's just call it fornication, because at the root of it all, it's still just fornication, right? Because you're having sexual relationships with somebody that you are not married to. God said that marriage is between a man and a woman, so you can't ever be married. Amen. Whether the Supreme Court says it or not, you can't ever have a covenant relationship that God designed, because he says between one man and one woman. That's what a marriage covenant is all about. So for whatever you do, you're still going to be fornicated. Amen. Just like the rest of us. You understand what I'm saying? So we all were there. You know, most of us have been there. We've been fornicators before. It's not something that I'm proud of, but it's real. I'm not anymore. And my first lady is my only lady. You understand? I just wanted to let y'all know that the first lady is just the only lady. There ain't no second lady and no third lady. We're not auditioning for any. We're not taking any tryouts. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in love, and then the Holy Spirit gives us power to walk in the light. Listen, love demands truth. Before we go there, turn back one page to Ephesians 4. Just flip your Bibles over to Ephesians 4. It should be on the previous page. And look at verse 14 and 15. Look what it says about these things. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about every wind or doctrine. That means we got to get deep. That's what that means. We got to get into the deep. That means we should no longer be children. After a certain period of time, after you've been saved for so long, you got to start getting deeper. That you should not be carried away by every wind and doctrine. Oh, this preacher said that. That person said this. This philosopher said this. Scientist and all this stuff. You can't be wavering back and forth. You have to, at some point, you have to stand on the word of God. So not carried about with every wind of doctrine by the what? The trickery of man. I shared with you guys some time ago last year, paleontology professor at Cal State Northridge made an interesting discovery. He made a discovery that of a triceratops. You know, triceratops, that's the dinosaur with the horns, kind of like a rhino, but he got like the three horns. They found a fossil of a triceratops horn that had soft tissue there. Now, the implication of them making such a discovery is that if the tissue is still soft after supposedly 60 million years, something's wrong. That perhaps, just maybe, folks of the so-called new Earth belief that don't believe that believe that the Earth is only actually between 6,000 and 10,000 years, which is more consistent with what the Word of God says. You understand? So this finding suggests that they fire him. Oh, we're about the science, and it's all about science. But then when the science doesn't jive with what they believe, you're fired. Are you really about the science, or are you just about your science? Listen, that's the trickery of man. That's what he's talking about. Don't be deceived by the trickery of man. Man is trying to deceive you and try to throw you off course because some bitter person that didn't get their prayer answered decided one day there wasn't no God. Charles Darwin lost his daughter to an illness. I forget what illness it was. And that's what caused him to go on that whole evolutionary trail that he went on, because he prayed to God and God didn't answer his prayer the way that he wanted it to be answered. He didn't realize that the prayer was answered. You just got to see the glory in the story.
Amen.
Sometimes he doesn't answer it the way that we want him to answer it, but he gives us an answer, and whether we like it or not, his will be done. See, he knows the end from the beginning. But that's usually what happens with all of these people. There's very few real atheists out there. I just don't believe that there's as many atheists out there as they proclaim to be. I just think it's a bunch of hurt people.
Amen.
That for one reason or another, they just turn their back on God. Amen? Because I say all the time, you got to teach kids that there is no God. Kids don't have a problem believing that there's a God. You have to learn that there ain't a God.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. So he said, don't be, but look what Ephesians 4:14 goes on to say. He says, are the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth, follow me, say, speaking the truth. In love. Love requires truth, not facts. Brother Johnson, both say nothing but the facts. I live my life based on facts. No, I live my life based on truth. The truth of the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God does not change. You change. People may change a little bit, not as much as they claim to. You understand? Because there's nothing new under the sun. There's no new sins. We just got new ways to sin. Amen. We're not progressing. We're actually regressing as a people. Amen. So it said, speak the truth in love. Speak God's truth. But speak it with love. But only the power of the Holy Spirit lets you do that.
Amen.
Only the power of the Holy Spirit could break those chains, can break those distractions, can break those strongholds of communication. It's when you speak in the truth in love. Don't you know that it's not what you say is how you say it?
That's right.
Don't you understand that it's not really what you say, it's how you say it. Listen, I always tell people all the time, make an investment in people. Make some deposits into their lives before you start taking withdrawals.
Amen.
Invest in them. John Maxwell said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Amen.
So make an investment in people first. You don't just jump off on people. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. That's to say you're a heathen. That's not going to work. They're going to shut you down, shut you out, and you're never going to talk. They're going to block you on their face. You don't do that. They're going to unfriend you. I unfriend you. And my mom went to Chicago Conversion. She said, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. I unfriend you. You guys know the commercial, the insurance commercial. That's what they do. They'll shut you down. They unfriend you. They'll block you. They'll erase all your posts. They don't want to hear from you again. But when you have an invested interest in their life, you took them out to dinner a couple times. You spent some time with them. You got to know them, got to learn about them. Now you have something to work with. You have something to build upon. Now, just maybe, they'll hear what you have to say. Maybe they'll allow you to that next level of their life. Because all of us have this kind of barriers that we put up. We have people that's in our inner circle, we got people in our outer circle, and we got people that just out the circle ain't never getting in the circle. They in outer space, as far as we're concerned. So you have to invest in people. That's what it means. Speaking the truth in love. I gotta know that you care about me. That you genuinely have love for me. But you know what does that? What breaks every chain? The Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit. People can sense the Holy Spirit operating and working in your life. Other than that, you're just being some dogmatic, religious person, and I don't care what you have to say.
Amen.
And especially if your actions ain't lined up with your words, then we really have a problem. You're a hypocrite. When you do one thing and say another, you know, they accuse us, oh, I ain't going to church. Ain't nothing but hypocrites there. Hey, buddy, there's room for one more. You'll feel right at home. Because we all do things, say one thing and do another at times. Amen? So we're full of hypocrites. Amen? But that's where we go to be together. Amen? So the love demands the truth. But then the Holy Spirit gives us power to walk in the light. He says in Ephesians 5 and 8, for you were once darkness. He didn't say that you were once in darkness. He said you were darkness. I like that straight talk that Paul gave. He said you weren't just in the dark. You were the dark, brother. you know, folks, folks, we don't like to admit that the problem is sometimes us. You understand? We was like, oh, I was just being with the wrong people at the wrong time. No. Every time you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, then maybe it's not the wrong place, the wrong time, and it's just you. You just wrong. You understand? Yeah. So he said, no, you were the darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. So walk, so act like it. So walk as children of light. You were darkness, skotos. A condition resulting from partial or complete lack of light. A little darkness is just as bad as a lot of darkness. Nothing worse than somebody just know a little bit of the word and then they try to preach, but they only know a little bit. Taking stuff out of context and using verses that don't match and don't add up because it sound good. You just a little bit. So the Bible, Jesus said, even a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if you just a little bit in the darkness, you as well be in total darkness. If you want to be just a little bit in the world, then you as well be all the way in the world. I tell you guys all the time, if I'm going to be in sin, I'm going to be in sin. I'm not going to hell through the church. No, sir, no, sir, buddy. I'm not going to go to hell, but go to the church again. Go to hell, all you living in sin all week long, and then on Sunday, jump back in, try to get cleaned up. No, if I'm going in, I'm going all in. And I'm going in deep, baby. I'm going in deep. I'm either all for God or I'm not. I don't understand it. Lukewarm, I can't do that. Either I'm going to be all in on this side or I'm going to be all in on that side. It ain't no middle of the road. I'm going to be all in. Because I tell you, I'm not going to hell through the church. I'm just not going to do it. Setting up these chairs and doing all this stuff, getting all ready all week, spending all day Saturday working, getting ready for something. I ain't going to do all that and then end up going to hell. No. If I'm going all in, I'm going all in. Man, reading your Bible and praying for folks and doing all that and giving money. Now, I keep my money. All right, man, I keep my money and do what I want and have fun at least on my way. Hey, come on now. On the highway to hell. You know what I'm saying? That's why those guys sing that song. They make so highway to hell. The highway to hell. But if I'm going to hell, that's the way I want to go. The highway to hell. I don't want to go. Come on, man. Hey, Pastor Chalvin, I'm being too real. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks. I'm being too real up here. I'm being too real. That's just me. Don't listen to me, young people. Don't listen to me. So you were darkness. We all came from somewhere. Darkness is equal to sin, symbolism of sin. We were all in some type of sin. No matter what, Bible said there's no sin greater than the other. If you break one commandment, then you've broken them all. If you broke one, if you told a little white lie, you broke a commandment, it's equal. Doesn't matter. gay, straight, bisexual, trisexual. That means you try any sex you can get. It doesn't matter. If you broke one, then you broke them all, period. Y'all like that one, I'll try. Some folks are like that, I'll try anything. Come on, they got a movie about it that's out right now, right? The 50 Shades of Grey. They trying anything. Yeah. He said, we all came out of some type of darkness, out of some type of sin. But now that we come out of it, we come into the light. And then we have to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, Ephesians 5 and 5, 9, look what he says in 5, 9. So, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is light. It's likened to the light. The Spirit is light. And the fruit of the Spirit, we did a series teaching. It's over there. It's called Fresh Fruit. It's about the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. So you got to pay attention. You got to look at these things. Look what Paul said. Not the fruits. It's not plural. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That means there's only one fruit, but these are the characteristics of that one fruit. Amen. You know, like an orange? An orange has a peel. It has the meaty flesh, right? It has that little, cartilage stuff that you got to peel away. You know, it doesn't taste too good. It's got all that stuff in it. It's got some seeds in there, some pulp, all that stuff. So, but it's just one fruit. But many characteristics of that one fruit. So the fruit of the Spirit. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, he sums it up right here. Galatians chapter 5 gives us a deeper view of it. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Just flip over Ephesians. If you go backwards, Galatians chapter 5. Let's look what the fruit of the Spirits are. The fruit of the Spirit is, I should say. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, there it is again, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. Wait a minute. I have control. Yes. The Spirit gives. But no, I was slain in the Spirit. No, you have self-control. But wait a minute. I couldn't help myself. Oh, you have self-control. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit, that you have self-control. Not to be out of order in things. You understand what I'm saying? You have self-control. Oh, man, that Twinkie just looked too good. That life. I was talking to a bishop last week, at a meeting, and we were joking about Krispy Kreme. And he's telling me, man, I'm just trying to be fit. You know, he's a bishop, been a bishop for some time. And he was just talking about, you know, how a lot of his colleagues are getting sick. You know, he's an older gentleman, and he was saying a lot of his colleagues are unfit, you know, and he didn't want to be like that. He wanted to be a better example. So he's talking about how he's been taking better care of himself, walking and doing like things like that. And then he was joking about the Krispy Kreme. He said, yeah, man, every time I see that light go on. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You driving by the Krispy Kreme, and then that light, you know, they make fresh donuts every 15 minutes, and when they nice and hot, that light come on, and that light come on, and it just be summoning you over there. It's like, man, I'm right on time. It's my season. You get spiritual about it. Oh, it's my season. That's a sign from the Lord. Follow the light of the Lord. I can't help myself because the light is on. Sometimes I roll by and say, man, I ain't going to that Krispy Kreme, but if that light come on while I'm riding, then that's a sign from the Lord. That's lack of self-control. That's not what the fruit of the Spirit say. You have self-control over that. You can control. Now, if you want a Krispy Kreme, then go get you a Krispy Kreme. Just don't get a whole dozen and sit there and scarf them down. Because, you know, those things are dangerous. You eat just one, they're like legs. You can't eat just one. See, I'm a grown man. I can't eat just one. So I know if I'm going in, I'm going in. You understand? But self-control, the Spirit says it gives us self-control. That means that we don't have to be gluttonous. You understand? And I'm in good shape because round is a shape. I'm in good shape. Round is a shape. You understand? So, but he said that's the fruit of the Spirit. So we walk in the fruit of the Spirit. We're walking in the light. But look at what he goes on to say. And I love it because it gets a little deeper. Ephesians 5:11, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them. This is where we get tripped up right here. This is where the Christian walk gets a little difficult for a lot of us. Because we have friends, we have family members, we have loved ones, people around us that are still walking in darkness. And since the Bible says we've been called out of darkness into the joy and marvelous light, I think Israel's singing says, not only do I call you out of darkness, not only did I call the joy and marvelous light, not only did I call you to worship, I call you friend. See, now we've been called out of that darkness. We've been called into the light, and now we see things more clearly. The Bible says when things are exposed, when the light hits them, they become exposed. We get to see the scene behind the scene. We get to see what's really going on. See, when we're in the darkness, we don't see things as they actually are. We see them with these sin-tinted glasses. And the devil is really good because he blocks out all of the bad stuff until he wants to use it against us. He blocks it out until he wants to use it against us. While he's trying to get us to sin, with the temptation, he said, go ahead and do it, man. Be you. Do your thing. It's all right, man. This is new school. That's old church. This is new church. You can do this. Do your thing. It's all right, man. You're young. Have fun. Do your thing. You're supposed to mess up. You're supposed to do things like this. You're supposed to make bad decisions and choices. That's part of growing up, man. It's good. Go for it, man. It's great. And then he talks you into it. And then as soon as you do it, he tells you how bad you are for doing it. Oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. Look at you. You know that's not Christian behavior. You're a Christian. That's what he does. Because he works and operates in deceit and condemnation. He deceives you into the sin, but then he condemns you for the sin. And then he goes on and tells daddy. He said, look at him. Soon as he leave out the part that he talked you into it. But... See, we have two problems. We have the enemy and we have the inner me. We have the enemy and then we have the inner me. And when we start to walk in the light, we begin to see the difference between the two. See, there's the enemy and then there's the inner me. Sometimes it's the devil, but sometimes he ain't got nothing to do with it. Sometimes it's the devil inside of us. It's like that day when the devil was sitting on the curb crying and Jesus walks by. The devil's sitting there, he's boo-hooing. He's crying. And Jesus walks up to the, this is not theologically correct. You won't find this in the Bible. I just had to point out, I said, the devil and Jesus were talking and on the curb and they had curbs in Jerusalem. And see, some of you Bible teachers trying to figure this out. But the devil was sitting there and he was crying. He's boom. And Jesus says, what's wrong with you, man? What's the problem? And the devil said, these people keep blaming me for everything. Sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's just us. And we use the devil as an excuse. He says, but listen, you don't be associated with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's where we get the hang up. The Bible tells us, the Word of God says it, that you're supposed to, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're supposed to expose sin. Huh? Wait a minute. The Bible tells us don't judge. No, it said don't condemn. You understand? Listen, you don't have control over anybody going to heaven or hell. You don't have a hell to put, so don't condemn people. Oh, you're going to hell because, no. But you expose the sin in who? The saints. Don't worry about the ain'ts. I'm talking about exposing the sins of the saints. Not the ain'ts going to do what they're going to do. They're in a sinful condition. They have not been transformed. They have not been redeemed. At least they haven't accepted the redemption yet. They're not there yet. So don't make no sense for you to go point out anything that they're doing. They're living according to them. And the Bible said there's a way that seems right unto man. And that's where they're at. They're doing whatever seems right, whatever feels right, whatever feels good. That's not the point with them. The point with them is the point of the cross. The only thing you need to say to people in that condition is you need to point them to the cross. You don't point out their sin. You point out that they're sinners that need the redemptive work of the cross of Jesus Christ. You don't have time to go into the invisible sins. That's not going to make any sense to them. They don't believe like you believe. They don't know the God that you know. But once you get them to the cross, and now you can start the work of sanctification. But if that person has already stopped at the cross, if they already got past Easter Sunday, then after Easter, baby, it's on. Now we get to expose some things. And it's not exposing them. You're not outing them. Yeah, you need to come out of the sin that you're in. You understand? He said, but what we do is we start to fellowship. We start to hang out with them. We kick it with them, whatever, because we don't want them to think that we think that we're better than them. Baby, I don't think I'm better than you. I'm just better than the me that I used to be. Can't you see? That's all it is. I'm just a better me. This is just a better version of me, the way that God intended. I'm not trying to be, but we get scared because we don't want to come off judgmental. We don't want to come off like so-and-so and this and that. We want to love them. Oh, I love them. I love them. Well, if you love them, you have to expose them. Expose them what? To the light. We have to shed light on the sin so that the shed blood can eradicate it. Yeah. Are you following me? Exposing means we shed light on the sin. You have to call a thing a thing. Iyanla Van Zyne. I got that from Iyanla. You know, Iyanla fixed my life. I love that show, man. Yolanda's bad. She's got some great stuff, man. But she said, call a thing a thing. We call it everything else. Cohabitation. We're just riding out. We're just testing things. We're just kicking the tires, kicking the wheels. We're just testing out. We're just doing other. No, a thing is a thing. A sin is a sin. It's all it is. It's a sin. It's alcoholism. No, it's drunkenness. Drunkenness is a sin. No, it's a disease. Where you catch alcoholism from? You see? Cancer is a disease, but I never know nobody that caught alcoholism. You took your butt to the liquor store and you bought some liquor, you started drinking it, and you got drunk. That's a sin, not a disease. The only disease you can catch that you don't have to catch, you just get it. Come on, man. Didn't you read the sign? The liquor store sign? You guys seen these liquor store signs? And that's the next point. He said, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, which is debauchery. Don't be drunk with wine, but walk with wisdom. You see the sign at the liquor store. What's the sign say at the liquor store? Beer, wine, and spirits. That's what I'm saying. When you walk in the darkness, you don't recognize that sign. You just keep on walking. Boop, boop, boop. You just walk on to the aisle. You don't even see the sign. You don't see the sign. But when you start walking in light, when you get spirit filled, you start to see things. You say, wait a minute. Does that sign say what I think it says? Does it actually say what I think it says? Beer, wine, and spirits? What kind of spirits you selling? Hello? Expose it. I'm exposing all the liquor stores on the corner, on every corner. There's beer, wine, and spirits. And even when you go to fancy foofy restaurants, you know, occasionally I get to go to a fancy foofy restaurant, they would say, would you like to see our list of spirits? You know, it's real. Oh, they sophisticated. Sophisticated. They have a whole, it's written in nice font, a nice little cursive font, and it looks so pretty, but the sign says spirits. What kind of spirits y'all serving up in here, man? This is, I got to go. I had to go, man. You know, the only spirit I want is the spirit of the Lord. Amen. But you talk about spirit because that's what it comes with, spirits. But if you're walking in the darkness, you don't even see that. You're just trying to get your buzz on. You're trying to get to the turn up. It's just good. I'm just trying, man. Woo! But you don't see it. But when you get exposed to the light, you start to hear the word of God. And the word says, be sober and vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking whose buzzed. He's looking for you to be buzzed. And we listen, he's talking about wine here, but that's in any form of intoxication. Me and my sister were talking last week about the thing that they do with the cough syrup. You mix the cough syrup with I don't want to give anybody ideas, but making up new kind of stuff to get intoxicated. But whenever you get intoxicated or inebriated with any substance that's outside of the Holy Spirit, then you open yourself up to the enemy's attack, even a little or a lot. Soon as you get buzzed, the Bible said that the devil is as a roaring lion. I like that too. It says as a roaring lion. He ain't the real lion, because the only lion we really know is the Lion of Judah. So, but he tried to appear like the Lion of Judah. So he's like a lion, but he don't have no teeth. He's like the little dog in the neighborhood that you walk by and all he does is bark, bark, woo, 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 woo. Every time you bark, every time. And then one day the gate is open and he runs up there, woo, 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 woo. And then he looks to see the gate is open. Who left the gate open? And he runs back. He's not really that tough. He's just doing a lot of bark. That's what the devil is. He don't really have any power. He don't really have nothing. He don't have the power that he convinces you he has, but his power is to convince you that he has the power. That's what he does. So he's as a real lion. He just rah, rah. He's lying. He's like the lion in Wizard of Oz. He's lying, lying. But once you step up to him in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you say, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan, the Lord, not me, the Lord rebuke you. Get thee behind me, because I'm following the Lord.
Yeah.
You understand? He don't have no power. You have the power. The dynamite. Somebody say, dynamite. Now we're talking about some good times. Amen. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Friends, I've lost my notes. The Lord must have raptured them up. Oh, here goes some. Holy Spirit gives us power to walk in wisdom. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means that you walk looking around, that you're paying attention to where you're walking. Me and the fellas went on a little hike yesterday. A couple of us went on a hike. We had to walk circumspectly. Why do we need to walk circumspectly? Because there's coyotes. There's rattlesnakes. When we had to walk circumspectly, right, Jaime? We had to walk circumspectly. That means we're paying attention to our surroundings. We're not just walking through life. Everything is. But some of us live like that. We live by accident. I accidentally had a baby. You accidentally had a baby? But we saw a snake. We saw a snake yesterday, but luckily it wasn't a rattlesnake, right, out of Francisco? We saw a little snake. Alexander, he tried to grab the snake. The snake said, you know, that's what boys do, though. Boys, you know, sometimes boys say, I won't touch the snake. I'm like, leave the snake alone. He might have some buddies or whatever. I don't want to, you know. So that means walk circumspectly. And that was such a beautiful picture of what God is saying. See, you walk circumspectly because the snake is out. And in that sense, we saw that the snake wasn't poisonous, but there's a snake that's poisonous. That old serpent, the devil. He's seeking whom he may devour. So we don't just accidentally just walk through life. We walk cautiously. We walk looking around attentively. Seeing, is this person a friend or an enemy, or are they a frenemy? And there's a new word. See, some friends are actually enemies. You know what I'm saying? In disguise. They sneaking in just to see. They really hating on you, and they hate you, but they get close to you so that they can bring you down, so that they can assassinate your character. But the Spirit of God will give you discernment when you are wise. One of my favorite proverbs, Proverbs 4:7, says, wisdom is the principal thing. That means the basic thing that you have to have in life is wisdom. Young people, wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. I want wisdom. I don't just want knowledge. I want wisdom. That means I want to know what to do with what I know.
Amen.
That's the difference between wisdom and knowledge. I want to know what to do with what I know. I have the information. Now, Lord, give me the inspiration I need to apply it wisely. That's wisdom. He says, seek wisdom. Listen, when Solomon asked God, God gave him a carte blanche. He could ask God for whatever he wanted. God, Solomon said, give me wisdom to lead your people. God said, I like that request. Now you got wisdom. I'm going to give you riches to go along with it. Wise people are never very poor. Everyone knows that wise people are not. You know, wise people, you don't see too many broke wise people. You understand? So he said, look, so wisdom is the principal thing to get wisdom. We should look before we leap. When you get a chance, look at Luke chapter 14, because he talks about considering the cost. He talks about what wise man, when he sets out to build a tower, does not first consider if he has what it takes to complete the tower. Brothers, when we decide we want to get with that lady and we want to know her on an intimate level, we have to consider the cost. Do we have what it takes to complete the task? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just talking about the act. I'm talking about what may come from that. Have you considered the cost of being with that lady intimately like that? Have you thought it all out? That's why we have so many fatherless children. Because they didn't consider the cost. Listen, girls don't get, last I checked, girls don't get pregnant by themselves, except for that one girl 2,000 years ago. And she didn't do it by herself, the Holy Spirit, but without a physical man. So it doesn't, but Javonte, we got to consider the cost, brother, of every decision that we make. Consider the cost. Am I man enough to accept the responsibility or the consequences that may follow the decision that I'm making? Amen. Am I right, Chris? I'm right, huh? It's good stuff. Good stuff. So we have to consider, we have to look before we leap. We have to walk circumspectly. He said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Listen, I don't have to tell you that the days are evil and becoming increasingly wicked. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's not what you say, it's what God says. We had this little thing, the bracelet thing, the big craze, what would Jesus do? We should modify that. What did Jesus do? And then that's what we're supposed to do, what he did. Because the real question is not what Jesus did, it's what you going to do. You going to do what he wills, or you going to do what you will? You going to walk according to your wisdom, or you going to walk according to his wisdom? See, the Bible says, and it's in the notes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that these things are foolishness to those who are perishing. The word of God, the cross, the resurrection, all that stuff is foolishness to those who don't know Jesus. Because why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, I share my testimony all the time. I went through 4 years at a Bible college. Genesis to Exodus. I mean, Genesis to Revelation, studied all the books, did papers on them, research, all that. 30-something page thesis paper on one passage of scripture. I did a lot of overstating in that one. I don't know how I got to, but it had to be that long. So, went through all that. But I did not understand and grasp the word of God until I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. After I graduated, I went back to my old church. And they started talking, the pastor started talking about this thing called being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Filled with the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? Paul's saying here, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean, filled with the Spirit? Well, in Revelation, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, he said that you've already been sealed with the Spirit, but here's something else that you have to be added onto it. You're not just sealed, you have to be filled. Oh, what did that mean? Filled means a perpetual refilling of the Holy Spirit. Right. Perpetually. You've been sealed by the Spirit of God. Once you enter into this relationship, they said the Holy Spirit has sealed the deal. The covenant is closed. He's like the ring on the finger. This thing is done. The marriage covenant is done between you and God. And the Holy Spirit comes through and he says, I'm consummating that thing. This thing is signed, sealed, and delivered. But in order for you to walk in love, in order for you to walk in the light, in order for you to walk in wisdom, you have to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? That means it's a perpetual filling. That means that you can't fill up your gas tank on Monday, ride all week long and never stop at the gas station again. You got to go and refill that thing over and over and over and over. He said, well, I got a smart car, but even a smart car needs to be charged up. You understand? So he said you have to be filled with the Spirit. So I want to close our message today. The time is getting, past our time. But I don't want us to miss this. If we want to have a deep impact on the world around us, then we have to align our spirit with his spirit. Psalm 42:7 says, the deep calls unto the deep. That means that God is calling us to the deep. God's spirit wants to align with our spirit. That's what prayer is all about. Your will, my will, let's get them on the same frequency. That's when whatever things I ask when I pray, he promises to deliver. That's when your will and his will are in alignment. As long as they're out of alignment, then good luck with getting your prayers answered. You understand? Because he won't give you anything that's not good for you. So 1 Peter says, look, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. We need the Holy Spirit to make a deep impact in this world. Give the Lord a hand praise. Everyone standing to your feet. Please stand to your feet.